This is Orthopod, another in your regular orthopedic podcast lectures from the University of Stellenbosch. I'm Ian Robertson, an orthopedic surgeon at Tygerberg Hospital, South Africa. This talk is on degenerative disease of joints and its intended audience is physiotherapists and medical students. Arthritis can be divided into monoarthritis and polyarthritis. Polyarthritis, in other words, involving many joints, can be subdivided into inflammatory disease, such as rheumatoid arthritis, metabolic disease, such as gout, and degenerative disease, such as osteoarthritis. We are concerned today about the degenerative disease osteoarthritis, one of the polyarthritises that affects mainly the major weight-bearing joints. The symptoms of pain, gradual in onset usually, affecting the joint, but made worse by exercise. On x-rays, the joint space is narrowed over the load-bearing area, such as, for example, the hip, the superior acetabular area will be narrowed rather than the central part of the acetabula. In other words, where the joint bears the most weight, the joint is narrowed. There's cyst formation. There may be small interarticular cysts communicating with synovial fluid of the joint, and there may be osteophyte formation, in other words, small fingers of bone growing out of the joint margins called osteophytes. This is a natural attempt of the body to increase the joint surface area. Osteoarthritis is a disease of overloaded but normally reactive bone. You seldom see it in osteopenic or osteoporotic patient. Eventually the joint anatomy changes because these large osteophytes will grow out, and the alignment may change, such as in the knee. The usual pattern in the knee with osteoarthritis is medial osteoarthritis of the knee, leading to joint space narrowing on the medial side and a varus deviation of the tibia. Similarly, the hip may migrate into varus or valgus. All laboratory tests are normal with osteoarthritis. This is one way you can exclude rheumatoid arthritis, gout, by doing appropriate laboratory tests, and the full blood count, ESR, and rheumatoid factors. In fact, all factors are normal with osteoarthritis, so it's a disease of exclusion. How does osteoarthritis look in the smaller joints, like the hand? Areas affected in the hand are basically the most common area are the finger joints, the distal interphalangeal joints of each finger, producing osteophytes known as Hebardine's nodules, which are not always painful. The more painful disease is disease at the base of the thumb, the base of the metacarpal trapezoid joint in the thumb. Here, especially the joints hypermobile, it often is in these patients, pain with gripping is experienced at the base of the metacarpal of the thumb. How do we treat osteoarthritis? It's usually easy to make the diagnosis. The conservative treatment consists of, first, relieving pain. Give non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to relieve the pain. Reduce the load on the joint. Do this in two ways. First, if the patient's fat or over the ideal weight, they must go on diet. In practice, this usually has a poor response. The patient can't always comply. It's difficult to make yourself lose many kilograms. Another way to reduce load on the joint is to use a cane in the opposite hand. Remember to use it not on the same side as the painful joint, on the opposite side. The patient then leans over and thus reduces weight on the affected side. Modify your activities of the patient must modify the activities of daily living. Walk less over uneven ground. And the other method which will work is to give the patient physiotherapy, mobilization of joints, keep the joints mobile. What about injection, direct injection to the joint? This is controversial and does not always work. There are two modalities that show some promise. Both have their complications. In a wet joint with an effusion, steroids may be tried. Interarticular steroids. In a dry joint with no effusions, hyaluronic acid may be injected directly into the joint. Only give two or three or four injections once every 6 months. Remember that the great danger of steroids is it may lead to sepsis, and make sure that the is no sepsis present before you start it. What about operative treatment? Eventually the patient will pressurize you into an operation. And this is indicated when there's severe pain. In other words, we talk of a grade 3 pain. When the patient dependent on non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, their walking distance is less than 100 meters, this might indicate some sort of operative treatment. The operative options are basically debridement, orthodesis, osteotomy, and joint replacement. Debridement. Where do we do debridement of a joint? This is usually done arthroscopically, and superficial joints like the knee are amenable to this treatment. The indication is pain on one side of the joint line in a younger patient, about less than 50 years old, and it works best, the procedure, in a patient who has meniscal symptoms. In other words, history of locking and maybe a positive McMurray sign for a meniscus. It will not work well in a patient with established osteoarthritis where no cartilage is left. Basically, the joint can be debrided with the arthroscope, the loose bits of cartilage removed from within the knee, and the meniscus loose tags debrided away, and arthroscopy is only indicated once or twice. There may be great pressure to do it more often, but if one or two arthroscopies don't work, the pain will not be relieved by arthroscopy. You maybe go on to a more radical method like joint replacement. Orthodesis. Where do we do an orthodesis? Only in severe cases. In smaller joints we can do an orthodesis. But in a big joint like the hip, orthodesis is really only indicated in a very young patient with a normal ipsilateral knee and normal contralateral. They're seldom done these days. Other operation that's seldom done these days is the joint excision arthroplasty, like the girdleson of the hip, where one side of the hip, the femur, head and neck are surgically excised. This was popular 100 years ago, but these days there are better operations, and it is basically only excision arthroplasty is only done with gross sepsis. What about an osteotomy? This is also indicated in the younger patients, maybe too young for joint replacement surgery, with a measurable varus or valgus angulation error. Mainly indicated in the knee, but sometimes the hip as well can be done. There must be, for an osteotomy, normal movement that you can use. In other words, it will not work in a stiff joint. And the classical operation, for example, is for OA of the medial compartment of the knee with varus deformity. We'll do a high tibial osteotomy and place the tibia in a slight valgus angulation. So when you finish the operation, there are 2 or 3 degrees valgus deviation. So we load the lateral compartment of the knee rather. What about total hip? When is total joint replacement required? Total joint replacement is basically for the patient over 60 years old, classically, who can walk less than 100 meters and has grade 3 pain. In other words, they need anti-inflammatory drugs, they take them regularly, and the pain is bad enough to wake them at night. You can break these rules, but basically the older patients, older than 60, do better and will probably not need a revision surgery in their lifetime. A total hip consists of replacing both sides of the joint surface. In the hip, the femoral component is made out of metal, such as titanium or cobalt chrome or stainless steel. And the acetabular component is a plastic, like the high density polyethylene. The device can be either cemented in with bone cement, or in the younger patients needing a hip replacement, a cementless technique can be used, spared bone stock. What are the contraindications to total hip? I've mentioned that indications. The contraindications are basically any sepsis, a patient who's too young, under 60. And any sepsis can include teeth abscesses, urinary infection, and other treatable causes. We treat these first, and once the patient is organism-free and not a carrier of the staphylococcus, for example, the total hip replacement can be done. And another contraindication is neuromuscular disease. A patient with old polio, a stroke, or any neuromuscular imbalance will not do well with a total joint replacement. as a general practitioner, you probably won't be very involved with the actual surgery of hip replacement, but you must know what the complications are. They will come to you in your rooms with complications. And what are the complications? Early complications are usually medical. Remember, early on, they older people, they maybe get deep venous thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. This will early complications. Also, pulmonary great sepsis and wound breakdown will come at the early stage. Later, when following months, the hip or knee replacement should become pain-free. The big problems at the later stage are low-grade sepsis, difficult diagnosis. It's not a fulminating abscess type of sepsis. It's just a lytic line appears around the hip replacement, and the patient's ESR is only slightly raised. It's a very difficult diagnosis. The other problem is loosening, aseptic loosening. The whole prosthesis might come loose. And also lytic lines around the metalware and around the cement must alert you to this danger. The hip can dislocate and also break. It can either periprosthetic fractures in the bone, like the femur around the prosthesis, or with metal fatigue fractures, the metal itself may break. Basically, any pain in a total knee or total hip or joint replacement as a whole means there's a problem. And refer this problem on to the orthopedic surgeon put the device in originally. The patient may need revision. In conclusion, osteoarthritis affects 5% of the general population. Many of these will be treatable by medical means and simple mechanical means by using a walking stick, etc. With severe osteoarthritis in the patient older than 60 years old, a joint replacement is a good option. And in terms of improvement of quality of life, cost effectiveness, a arthroplasty is one of the most effective procedures in the whole of medicine. This has been Orthopod, a podcast from the University of Stellenbosch. My name is Ian Robertson.